Welcome to episode 35 of the Band of Gamers podcast. My name is not Osiris Prime. It is Greylock3491. And this week I'm joined by Zeus Adamus.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
And yes, Osiris Prime.
Yay, I'm back.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to the show. It's always great to talk to you. And not a lot going on here for me this week, so I'm going to kick it right over to Zeus and say, what have you been playing, my friend?
Yeah, so I guess you could say that I've gotten or made a return to mobile gaming, if we think of it that way. I got my NVIDIA Shield Pro back about maybe 6 weeks ago. I think I talked about it on this show. This is NVIDIA's kind of Android TV streaming and gaming device that I got early last year. It had been recalled. It had gone through a recall like in December for defective SSDs that were in the launch window units. My device was one of those. So I sent it back in. They sent it back. They sent it to the wrong address. They sent it to the address that I had when I bought the unit, because they never asked me where I actually wanted it shipped, so I never had a chance to tell them that I had moved. So we argued about that for a couple of weeks, and then they finally, they initially said, no, you'll have to buy a new one, and then they eventually said, no, we decided the right thing to do was to send it to you. So it got here a few weeks ago, and I had not played it. So this weekend I finally jumped on, played a little Riptide GP2, which is kind of like, I can't remember, there was a Hydro Thunder is what I want to say it's like. It's not speedboats, it's wave riders, but you go on some of these crazy tracks. I feel like it's a mix between kind of Hydro Thunder and SSX. You go on a bunch of these crazy tracks and you do all kinds of stunts in an effort to maximize your boost, and then you hit your boost and gain a bunch of speed and do more tricks. But it's really cool. The graphics are really sharp for an Android game that came out like a long time ago. I want to say the game is 5 or 6 years old, because it came out kind of just as tablets were becoming a big deal. So it was like the year of the iPad, or maybe the year after. And of course, on the Shield Pro, everything, pretty much every game that shows up as being compatible with the Shield Pro, by definition, must include game controller support. So I was playing this, you know, with the NVIDIA Shield game controller, which is a pretty solid controller. Kind of a weird mix between the PlayStation controller and the Xbox controllers. So I played that, and then I got a chance to play Reckless Racing 3, which is kind of an overhead view RC, remote control kind of car racing game. Again, I've played this franchise for a long time, Reckless 1 and 2, and have had 3 for a while. It's the first time I got a chance to play it on the Shield Pro. The really cool thing is it turns out that requirement to provide controller support kind of works against you if it's a racing game where the track is fixed. And so sometimes left is left, but sometimes left is right. So my first race was pretty horrible, because that was really disorienting. But then I found in Reckless Racing 3, they have added, I can't remember what exactly the verbiage is on the option, but it's an option, it's an overhead chase cam. So this camera rotates with the car so that your turning is always relative. So left is always left and right is always right. So I played a good chunk of that this weekend. Got video capture of both of those games. Both of those sessions of my gaming diary on the Rounding Off Infinity YouTube gaming channel are posted into the channel if anybody wants to check them out. So, do you guys have any questions? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just said plug.
Right. Yeah, I thought I would pitch mine in pretty early there. So you guys got any questions about those, or Prime, you want to tell us what you've been playing for the last week or so?
No. So like kind of overall, the Shield Pro, how has that been? Like even before you kind of had to send it back, what did you think about it basically?
I've been pretty bullish on it. You know, where it falls in the spectrum for me, and I've had plenty of my gamer compatriots who have not agreed, some of whom have gotten into full-blown arguments. It was, I believe it was, the unit was like $299. So if you buy the base model, like the 16-gig unit, I think that's like $150, maybe $199, but you could typically find them for $150. But the Pro unit, which has a 500-gig SSD in it, is $299. For me, that puts it squarely in the same space as the Wii U. And my feeling is I feel like this device is way more functional than a Wii U. You have apps for all of the most popular streaming services, although Amazon Prime Video continues to be a problem. But I don't know if there's Amazon Prime on the Wii U. You know, I have Netflix, I have Hulu on there, I have all my Google Play movies and TV shows, because I do, you know, buy stuff on there. I'm having problems keeping up with Supergirl, so I started buying, like, single episodes of that, so I can watch that on there. It's a really small, tiny, compact, and pretty elegant device that looks great on your entertainment center, and it integrates all of your Google services really well. You know, again, if I'm going to put this up against a Wii U, the big difference is when I come down and pop open my Shield Pro, I'm in my Google services and in my Google account, with access to a lot of things there. Not everything that I would want, but a lot of my content that's very personal to me is available. So yeah, I've been pretty happy with it.
Cool. Gray, did you have any comments or anything? No, I think Gray might be having some technical difficulties. I'll just kind of jump ahead here, see if you can fix his problems. Hasn't been really that much different from the last month or so, a couple months actually, from what I've been playing. Real quick, I want to talk about a couple betas. The Division beta, unfortunately, I did not get a chance to play this past week. I did download it, but I just never got a chance to get around to playing it, which is kind of unfortunate because I wanted to jump into it since I missed the closed beta that they had a few weeks ago. So unfortunately, I didn't get to play that. And then the Homefront beta, I'm not too sure, you know, what I can say about that, but I'm just gonna say thumbs down from what I've played. I only played a couple of games, but I'm just gonna leave it at that for now, and then maybe we'll talk about it a little later on once we can. So other than that. Just with my son, I've been playing Minecraft and Disney Infinity 3.0 last couple weeks since I haven't been on. I wasn't on last week. And then I've been playing a little bit of Black Ops 3. They had a couple, They had a double experience points and double weapon experience points. Not this past weekend, but the weekend before. So I was playing that. I jumped on real quick to try to level up my stuff. And of course, I've been playing Ark Survival Evolved, which pretty much nonstop on that since it came out in October, I think. I think it was October, somewhere around there. So that's the game preview that's on the Xbox One. It's on PC now, and I believe it's coming to PS4 too eventually. But, yep, I think that's about it. Any questions on any of that?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, I didn't have any questions. I just wanted to test my mic out. Sorry.
No problem. Gray, how about you? What you been playing?
I've been playing with this headset, trying to get it to work. I don't know what happened. I went to lower the volume on it and just went to infinite mute. So, a little hairy here, unplugging headsets in the middle of a podcast, but it seems to be working. And if you guys can hear me. So I taking a page out of, I think it was Zeus's story, about all those old games getting released from the Windows 3.1 era, I actually went to the link and I went online and I was looking through the games, which are not organized very well. They're kind of like just splattered up there. And I saw Wheel of Fortune, and my daughter and wife were talking, and the grandkids were playing. So I'm like, I'll kick this up. And my grandson ended up coming and sitting next to me. He's six and watched me play. Man, Vanna moved very, very slowly. But I had fun. I won this brand new sports car. Now, apparently in 1994, a high-end sports car only cost $13,000, So I was like, I had to show everybody in the room, you believe this sports car? But a trip to China costs $20,000. And I'm like, what is wrong with this picture? $20,000 to go to China? But I ended up winning like $40,000. I went bankrupt a couple times in a row, and I landed on the $5,000 square. And man, I'll tell you, brought back some memories, but some really good memories, but some not so good memories too. Then I got in some Battlefront with Jester. We played Friday night. My wife was out of town, so we played some co-op. I love the co-op. I mean, we were talking about, wouldn't it be great if this was 3 or 4 player co-op? Because it is a lot of fun, and it's hard on hard. Go figure, right? But it gets really hard on hard, and I actually got stepped on by a walker. Actually stepped on me as I was jetpacking away. I wish I could have recorded that from somebody else's perspective. But some hair-raising moments when we were out of lives and we only had 2 people to kill after, in the 15th round, and we were just holding on by a thread, and a lot of fun. I'm a big Battlefront fan. And then played some, my brother just got an Xbox, and so last night played some Destiny. This is my final time going through from start to finish because I just don't think I'll be able to go through it all again. I haven't run through it so many times, but it's fun. I did that, me and my friend Mace did that with my brother Spiral, and had a lot of fun with that. And I forgot to throw in there that Downriver Rat and I got to play some Homeworld multiplayer. And I thought Age of Empires started slow. Man, Homeworld really starts slow because the first thing you have to do is go gather resources, and you do that in all RTSs, but those resource guys are really slow. But it does pick up after a while, and it's, go ahead.
Well, yeah, and it's funny. I apologize. I couldn't link up with you guys on Sunday, but you start off gathering resources. Those guys are really slow. The lines of logistics are very long in Homeworld. A resource cloud might be a significant distance away on the map, and your mothership doesn't move. So it's just a long logistics chain. The other thing that I think takes a long time, and you tell me if you agree after, now that you guys have played some multiplayer, the other thing that takes a long time is you don't have any idea where the enemy is. And the map in Homeworld, I just feel like that cloud of war is creates a significant addition of complexity over and beyond what you normally are exposed to on like a 2D map kind of RTS. Do you agree?
Well, I would have thought so, but no. But let me back up. What did take a long time was trying to figure out how to get connected to multiplayer, because it's not inside the game anymore. It's kind of in the splash screen. So, and we were playing the remastered edition, so we were the Steam edition, and just getting my account set up with Gearbox Software so I can play multiplayer was weird and frustrating. But once that was done, when we got into the game, and I was surprised, it didn't seem like there were a lot of people playing, maybe 100 people. When we get into the game, I almost felt like it was a square map, even though you're supposed to be in space. When you bring up that zoomed out view, right? It's like me and Pat were over on like one side of that map, so we kind of just guessed that the guy had to be on the other side of that circle because we were on one edge of the circle. And so I guess one of the first things you can build is like a probe or a scout to go out there. And I think, and this is probably with any RTS, the biggest thing is learning this is not StarCraft, this is not Age of Empires. The keystrokes are different. So many are the same, but many are different, which gets frustrating. I thought, I think a game both that you and I both have played, Zeus Ground Control. I thought those controls were took. There was a learning curve, but I felt after a while they were extremely intuitive, and I think I kept trying to go back to those controls in Homeworld, and they weren't working, and I didn't know. I had resource collectors just hanging out. I'm like, why aren't you working?
Right.
And they were
And
just
it's
sitting there. I'm like, what are you doing? Tell me what you're doing. I'm clicking on you. I'm clicking on a rock. Now go mine. Nobody's on the
right.
rock. You can have it. It's all yours. And they wouldn't budge. And it's like, I don't know what you're doing, but this is all about learning, learning how to play a new RTS. So the older I get, the more frustrating it is. What do you
Right, and
think?
it does, and it does do elevation. I mean, so it's a complete 3D RTS. I mean, enemies can be, vertically off, the plane that you're transiting in, and same thing for that probe. I mean, that probe, it's good to hear that you guys discover the enemy on the exact opposite side of the map. But you could point that probe, 100 whatever, 100 arcs above the basic, horizontal plane, and enemies can be there, resources can be there. So yeah, it's pretty interesting. I can definitely see how it would be a bit disorienting. Expecting some of the more standardized kind of RTS controls to work. So that's awesome that you guys went through that to get into it. It's definitely hard to get probably RTS multiplayer set up. So just because things aren't like they used to be. There's not GameSpy Arcade sitting right there for you. There's not the old what was that thing called? Not Xfire, but it was I don't know. There were a bunch of services that there used to be that would host, tons of multiplayer games, and you would just get an account on one of those and play on their servers, but that's not the case anymore.
And the segue, that's a great point. So I was thinking about this, right, as I'm going back and I'm thinking about the old games. And do you remember the Game Zone, Microsoft Gaming Zone or Game Zone? I
Yeah,
don't know why, I was playing on that a lot.
that's where I used to play X-Wing Alliance, was through that service.
Yeah, and that's where I played when I first started playing Jedi Knight. That was really my first-person shooter online back in the 90s, using that. Man, they could have been like the next Steam. I mean, they could have been Steam before Steam if they would have. Why did they abandon that? That was such a early, and I thought it was a good service too. It seemed pretty well-rounded. It's a shame Microsoft lost a lead in that space by not supporting that. But that was a cool service. I think maybe even Microsoft Flight Sim used to use that as well. But yeah, so that's what I've played, and it was fun to go back and play some old stuff. And Homeworld is definitely very interesting. The ships do the auto attack very well, so if you get them even close to the enemy, they'll still sense them and start attacking them. So fun game. Look forward to playing it again. I think Pat and I have already committed to be playing it again next Sunday. So if you're around, Zeus, that's great. If not, we'll still have fun. But I would love to have you. With that rounds up our what we've been playing this week. Let's jump into the news. I don't, I just looked through the news again too, and nothing really caught my eye. But Zeus, did you see anything this week that really caught your eye in the news?
Yeah, a couple things I found interesting. Number one, the Arbiter is apparently coming to Killer Instinct. Now, I am well on record as not being a fan of Killer Instinct. As far as the business model that Microsoft built around that game, I find it utterly frustrating. And I'm just like, just sell me the game with everything in it, or get out of my face. And so, the whole thing about, you get the game and it's a starter pack and you get these four characters or six or whatever it is, and then there's this pack and you get these ones and that pack, and then every week there's something, and I'm like, I don't have time for that. Like, I just need to go somewhere, give somebody my money, walk away with a thing, and be done with it. So I think in later years they have kind of clean that business model up, but I had such a bad taste in my mouth from my initial when I first bought my Xbox One that I just have not been interested in going back to it. However, I'm a big fan of the Arbiter. I like that character, and he is apparently going to show up in Killer Instinct. So this got announced at the Halo Regional World Championships. I'm not sure exactly when that event occurs, but Microsoft and 343 Studios announced that he'll be showing up. I haven't seen a date, so I don't know exactly when that DLC is going to be available. But it's a good pick, and there's thoughts that maybe it's indicative of more kind of downloadable characters continuing to come to Killer Instinct in 2016. I don't know. Did any of you guys play Killer Instinct, or anybody just happy to hear that some Halo characters and some Halo mythology is getting extended to other properties?
Well, you know, I just want to say I do like it when you know, even whatever the game is, when it comes to the platform, that they show a little love to it. You know, Minecraft got some Halo skins. Didn't Rocket League get a Warthog and a Mass Effect vehicle? And now we have Arbiter and Killer Instinct. And I like that. I like it when they extend that by doing that. And I think that's a tradition that goes back quite a ways, actually. But as far as Killer Instinct, I am not a player. Have not, never played the game.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I used to play Killer Instinct, like, back in the day when it first came out. But when it relaunched and I kind of went back to it, I don't know if it's just because of my age now, but I just can't do the combos anymore like I used to. So I kind of jump into it every once in a while and just kind of play around with it. And I just do the free version, where I don't know if they still do it, where they had a free character of the week or month or something like that, and they change it out every once in a while. So I would just play that character. But I think last month maybe that they had the first Killer Instinct season 1 was free, so I had downloaded that. So at least I got kind of like the original characters that I can play around with now. So, but yeah, that's pretty cool. I think they had one of the Battletoads, I believe, too, that they released or are going to release as a playable character. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's good when they kind of throw in like Halo and all that kind of stuff, and it's pretty awesome.
Cool, very cool. So the other story that I saw that caught my eye was there's a game called Ironcast dropping on the PS4 and Xbox One the first week of March. So this one caught my eye just because the content seemed to be right in my wheelhouse. It's steampunk and it's mechs. And I'm not sure what other two things you could combine that would catch my attention that quickly and give me whiplash from seeing the article. So this is a game that that models kind of a faux timeline of, I'm not exactly sure what they've changed in the timeline, and maybe it doesn't matter, but for the sake of the story, but it is a game that pits, it's kind of 1v1 mech versus mech combat. It's actually 2D, and when I realized that, I kind of got turned off, because I had this idea in my head of kind of Mech Warrior, but with steampunk mechs. It does take place in the 1880s, which is another reason why it caught my attention, because I love that Victorian era leading up to the beginning of World War I. It's kind of right squarely when the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen stories take place, which is, again, one of my favorite fictional franchises. So it still looks pretty neat. Like I said, it's 2D, it's 1v1. There's some type of I'm not sure what I want to call it. There's some type of on-screen leveling encounter system where I can't tell exactly what's going on, but there's a bunch of gems or something with a machine arm running across them and picking them up periodically while the two mechs fight on either side of the screen. So I don't know if, you know, while you're fighting, you're supposed to be maybe with another control component, like the right analog stick or something, you're supposed to be picking those things up or something. But steampunk and mechs. And although it's 2D, it still looks interesting. It's the type of game that I can definitely see going for free on PlayStation Plus or being a Games with Gold game. So I may not get it right away, but I can definitely see that I'll be keeping my eye on it for if it's ever a special. So did you guys have a chance to check it out and have any thoughts about the announcement in the game?
I didn't, but I wanted to ask you, do you have Iron Brigade? That was a like a arcade game, mech game, that was actually 3D, not 2D.
Oh, no, I've never even heard of that. Did it get like an HD remake or a reboot or something on consoles?
No, you know, it was funny because everybody was playing it, and by the time I got it on sale, it was just my buddy Jetty playing it, and we played through probably half of it. It was a lot of fun. It was a low-cost game, but it's backwards compatible now, is the only reason I bring it up, because it automatically showed up in my dash as being available. So something maybe it'll be a Games for Gold here in the future, but it was nice to see that game. I've only got about halfway through it, and it was kind of interesting. It kind of had a little steampunk kind of alternate history to it as well. So if you ever cruise in the Xbox site, check that one out. Might be something, if it goes on Games for Gold, you want to get for free. How about you, Osiris?
Yeah, I think was that like a Tim Schafer game, I think, maybe? Because I think then it started out as something else. I think it was called something else when it first came out, if I'm thinking of
Yes, I think you're
the right
right.
game.
No, I think you're absolutely right. It was renamed.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
think there
you're
was
right.
some
It is
weird.
a Tim Schafer game. It's the dev and publisher is listed as Double Fine Productions. I'm looking at the PC version of it now, which actually grabs my interest even more than the thought of it being a backward compatible Xbox game.
Yeah, I think there's some problems in Europe or something where the copyright of the name, the original name, they had to change it. So I can't remember what the original name was though. But yeah. But anyways,
Trenched.
I digress. Yeah, Trenched. Yeah. But as far as I did play, actually, I did get that. I think it was I think it might have been Games with Gold on the 360 at one point, because I know I have it, and I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have just bought it outright, because I mean it was fun, but originally if I hadn't bought it, I wouldn't have even thought about it. So but as far as Ironcast, when I first saw the title of your in the notes of the article, I thought it was like one of those hacker groups or something gonna attack the Xbox Live and PSN services just because of the headline. It was kind of weird.
Well, you had a better take on it than I did. I thought it was some type of weird, like, Dreamcast mod.
Yeah, I was looking at the trailer earlier, and yeah, it looks interesting. It does, almost looks like the way you said they had like the gems and all that. It almost looks like what's that game? Like Hexic almost? Like you kind of maybe you got to match like the jewels or the orbs or whatever they are in this game, and you
Right,
get a power
right.
up or something. So that's kind of cool, kind of interesting.
Yeah, and just before I let you take over the news, Prime, Gray, since you brought up Iron Brigade, it is available on Steam. There is actually an Iron Brigade 4-pack, and so while we've been kibitzing here about things to play on Sunday afternoons for multiplayer, that suddenly presents itself as a tasty option. I know you guys are focused on RTSs, but maybe that's something. Maybe Iron Brigade is something we can talk about too.
I'm just thinking, I already got it on the Xbox. That's my first thought.
Oh no. This would be a it's not unusual for me to get a 4-pack and token the extra versions to my friends, 'cause otherwise I wouldn't have anybody to play with. So I don't know. We can kick it around some other time. Prime, do you have a news story that you want to talk about?
Yes, I did find one thing that was kind of interesting today. It's a little VR news of virtual reality. So HTC announced their price and release date, or well, more or less release date for the Vive, which is their VR headset, which they actually partnered with, not Steam, Valve with. So it's the low price of $800, and that's actually $200 more. Yeah, exactly. $200 more than the Oculus, and I don't think they've. I couldn't find anything on the Sony VR. I don't think they've given a price yet, so I'm not sure how much more is on that. Now, probably gonna. Looks like it's gonna be the most expensive of the VR headsets so far that's been announced. So what you get in this $800, excuse me, $800 bundle is the headset. You get the headset, you get a PC, a TV. No, I'm just kidding. You get the headset. Everybody was probably like, "Oh my God." Now you get the headset, you get
Winnebago,
two
a trip to China,
yeah.
a brand new sport. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was doing my passe check there with the going back to the Wheel of Fortune there. No, you get the headset, you get two controllers, one for each hand, which I'm glad they said that in the article, 'cause I wouldn't have known that otherwise. Two base stations, which tracks the movement of the users in the room. So I'm assuming you kind of probably position them kind of far apart, and it just checks where you're going. And then two games, Job Simulator, which is, I guess it's like kind of a future setting where robots have taken over like all the jobs basically, and then you go back and put on this headset and you can kind of experience what how having a job, a real job, it's like an office job basically. Office job, I think
That
actually
sounds
there's
like
three different
work, man.
jobs. Yeah, I know. There's like an office job, but I think a chef and something else I was reading on the site. And then the other one is Fantastic Contraption, which I believe, or I shouldn't say I believe, it is a free PC game right now, which is kind of just in 2D. And then they've modified it for a 3D, environment where when I was looking at the 2D, there was kind of like a goal on one side of the screen, and you had to, there's like different pieces you can put together to try to get to that goal. So like I kind of did one real quick and it was just basically a straight line. So you had like two circles and you had to put two circles down for wheels and then like a line in the middle. So and then it would just start rolling on its own and then it got to the goal. So I guess doing that in 3D would be pretty cool. I was kind of watching a little bit of the trailer or the I guess like the dev video they had on the site and they kind of show the person like physically, and I'm doing that in air quotes, putting together a contraption in a 3D space. So it was kind of cool. It looked kind of cool. But yeah, they're doing pre-orders on the. They're going to start on February 29th, and then it's supposed to ship sometime in April. I didn't say exactly when, but sometime in April. And then I believe the Oculus is sometime in March. The end of March it's supposed to start shipping out. So it'll probably be the second one out. And I think Sony's not coming out probably till later in the year. I don't think they've given an exact date either. So, yeah, that was I don't know. What do you guys think of that 800 price and just kind of the whole thing?
So I've got issues with it, but I'll let Gray go first.
Wow. That's all I get to say.
Go ahead,
Okay,
Zeus. Let it rip.
so this might be at the risk of impacting our discussion topic. So if you guys are when you guys are ready to cut it off, just cut it off. So wow. So there's several things here. So number one, HTC. HTC is a smartphone manufacturer who predominantly does Android phones. They have, on a couple of occasions, also done some Windows Phone, meaning the version of the Windows operating system beyond the old Windows Mobile. And I've had two or three of their Windows phones and maybe two or three of their Android phones. They're dynamic in the market space in smartphones is that they make really well-regarded phones from a design language aspect, but they have major problems with their business models. They and Samsung were right beside each other when they both launched this initiative to lock down to a single phone model and basically tried to tell the carriers that this is the phone. You can have it, on your service, or you cannot. But we're not going to make individual phones for every carrier. As we can see today, Samsung was able to leverage their weight in that. HTC tried the same thing and basically got their arm twisted behind them. And like the very same year, they went right back to making a carrier-specific version of every phone that they came out with. So the reason I go through all that is, I think lots of PC gamers are uber nerds, but not all. So there are going to be lots of PC gamers that don't know who HTC is. Therefore, I don't understand how HTC feels they can charge $800 for the Vive. Now, they do have a partnership with Steam, and so I guess maybe it's through Steam that there will be name brand recognition, but I didn't necessarily see that this thing is being marketed as the Steam Vive. It appears like it's just the Vive. So to me, the 800-pound in the gorilla, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is Oculus Rift, backed by Facebook, engineered by Carmack, and the front runner in terms of the engineering cycle that kicked this thing off. And it's a company built around VR, where whereas HTC is a company built around smartphones, who's struggling in the smartphone space and has dipped their toes into other spaces like tablets and some other things, and every adjacency that they've gone into, they have failed and backed out of the space. So a big question in my mind about VR would be, I would feel like I would need to bet on the company that I feel like has the best chance of longevity, because I might buy this device and be in it for 3 or 4 years. So I need to know that the company behind it is going to be solid in terms of warranty work in case the thing needs to be replaced, a high likelihood for devices in a brand new space and potentially launch window devices. So I need to know that that's going to be honored. I need to know that they've got enough legs to handle support and technical issues. I need to know that they have solid partnerships in the space that will provide interesting content. And I need to know that the company is going to be around. Facebook is not going anywhere. HTC, I'm not so sure. HTC could topple over at any minute and look exactly like BlackBerry. So... And this feels horridly like a company who is making a last-ditch stand and charging an exorbitantly priced device and touting it as, like, the future of whatever tech space it's in. And you know, history is littered with the dead bodies of companies who have tried that and tried to go high-end for their last-ditch effort and failed. And when they fail, they get obliterated because they've poured so much money into that high-end device. So I guess that's my rant. Not really a rant, but...
You know, as I look at this, as you were talking about that, and I have to say, it does look like they've added some things. I mean, it really looks like they've added a $200 worth of hardware above and beyond what I believe I'm going to get with an Oculus Rift. Not sure what you're going to get with a Sony VR, PlayStation VR. But what's the killer app? You know, who's gonna want this?
Job simulator. That's the killer app.
Yeah, that sounds like work, dude. no, seriously. I mean, I gotta go with Zeus on this one. It seems like a step out of their comfort zone. It seems a step into a world that's none of us know if it's gonna be the next 3D TV. You know, and. But yeah, they do have some things that the other guys don't have. The two controllers look pretty expensive, and much more expensive than a $30 Xbox wired controller. And the front-facing camera and some of these other features, I mean, that adds cost. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's where is this all going to go? Who knows?
And yeah, go ahead.
Well, and a curious question I'll tack on to that, because I want to ask you guys, because I was talking this over with the technology writers and hardware writers with the site that I write for, and could not find any to agree with me, shockingly so. But does it seem strange to you guys that Nvidia is not doing their own headset at this point? You know, these VR headsets are heavily dependent on very tight compatibility with whatever graphics card is driving them. Does it not seem natural to you that Nvidia would be looking at doing their own headset and leveraging the inside track on their own GPU technology to provide, you know, the best and highest compatibility oriented VR experience with a two component hardware kit that has capabilities that no third party could provide because they just don't know the GPUs that well, and be looking at getting those things on the market in a bundled kit. So you go and you buy your, you know, NVIDIA, you know, GTX 980 plus VR headset, and it comes in, you know, way cheaper than the same kind of combo with their card paired with like an Oculus Rift or third party VR kit.
You know, I understand what you're saying there, but when I look at NVIDIA, right, I see NVIDIA as being a company that is, all right, so they want to be the best graphics manufacturing, you know, chip manufacturing company in the world, But I really think they just want to be the best processor manufacturing company in the world. I think the hidden goal of NVIDIA is to battle for the processor, to show that their processors are faster than Intel or AMD standard processors. It's probably a safe bet because AMD is owned by ATI is owned by AMD now. And I just see a lot of the stories coming out of NVIDIA focus around that. I gotta be honest, I don't understand what they're doing with the whole Shield line. I don't know how profitable that is. I don't know that it's a mainstream. I know you have it, you like it, and I like what I see when you post your videos. But to me, I don't see it gaining mass market attention. And I think if I was a shareholder at NVIDIA, I would not want to jump into. I would want my chipset to be in all the VR headsets, but I wouldn't want to be making it myself. To me, I think it's too much of a gamble. I just personally think it's too much of a gamble to jump in now, you know. But yeah, they're a graphics company. It seems to make sense they would be in the hunt. But ATI isn't either, so.
Right. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the Shield thing, because I kind of feel like that actually bends in the direction of again questioning why they're not doing VR. The main reason that they do Shield is because they don't want to. Well, the main reason that they do Shield is for it to be a showcase for their ARM processors to encourage greater uptake of their silicon. Right, it's why they did a tablet because they wanted to. It's kind of like how Microsoft does things, right? Microsoft doesn't really want to do Windows phones, but because manufacturers aren't producing lots of really great Windows phones, Microsoft does it to set the example. They would just as soon not do Surface and not do some of these other things that they do, but they do them to be the template for other manufacturers. And now that Microsoft Surface has gained a lot of traction this year, you know, at CES, you see Lenovo and Dell and Toshiba and HP making Surface lookalikes, and NVIDIA's hope is kind of the same thing. They don't necessarily hope that people make things akin to the Shield, but there was a small Android TV, you know, market. But really, they wanted to show that the Tegra X1 processor could be used and how much gaming power it could render. And get people to think about using that, you know, in tablets and whatnot. So my point is that in the GPU space, you know, they provide those GPUs for use. They provide the design specs for those GPUs to be used in supercomputers, right? You take a bunch of GeForce cards and create this big processing farm, leveraging the power of CUDA, and slapping it in a supercomputer. And you use their chip, you know, and they want their chips in smartphones and tablets and all that kind of stuff. So my point being, what greater way to show processing power than just ripping the arms off of games by the combination of their GPU with an NVIDIA technology-driven VR headset? And they wouldn't necessarily need to do it at scale or mass, but demonstrating the technology in a commercially available product, you know, again, may increase, you know, uptake of their silicon. So I don't know. It's just an interesting theory that I've been noodling on during the day.
No, and it's a good point, but if you were NVIDIA or HTC, I mean, would you want to gamble on a $199 Shield, right? Or $800? I see a lot more applications for the Shield than I do than I do for VR. I see a lot more people plunking down, you know, gamers plunking down $200 to grab a Shield than I do seeing people grab a VR. And I just see NVIDIA being smart by not jumping into that market because it's everything's just seems so iffy from where I'm sitting.
Yeah, I completely agree with you with that aspect. It's all a matter of, you know, I guess what I pitched today was that in my mind, you know, my assumptions, they're already spending money on R&D for VR because they're already providing support to the third-party headset manufacturers to tighten up compatibility and to give them the best capabilities and to give them gaming experiences that make VR worthwhile. So they're already spending money on R&D. My thing was, well, how much more R&D would they have to spend to take what they're already working on and leverage that into their own headset. But you're right. You're absolutely right. That's bounded by what is their projection of VR market growth and uptake and profit margin. You know, does the incremental ramp of adding some more R&D and manufacturing to get to a headset, is that less than the growth and return that they see potentially coming out of sales of their own headset versus sales of their own headset plus GPU versus sales of more GPUs because people are buying them to go along with headsets, but that headset money is going to, you know, Samsung or Oculus or HTC. So yeah, that's what you said absolutely bounds the problem is, you know, what's the growth versus the risk.
Yeah, great point though. Prime?
Oh no, I was just gonna say, I mean, I don't know, I just thought this whole thing, the HTC Valve collaboration, was just kind of weird when this first was, you know, when this was first announced. I think it was just last year, actually, maybe a year and a half ago. You know, heard that, hey, Valve's going to be making a, you know, a virtual reality headset, and then like, all right, that's, you know, okay, you know, they made the Steam Box, and you got these other things that they're making, and then like, hey, we're going to partner with HTC, and I was just like, okay, it's just kind of weird, you know. I mean, I know I've heard good things about their phones, HTC's phones and stuff, but I mean, it just kind of came out of left field for me. I don't know where that came from, and you know, obviously Valve's they're a pretty smart company, so I'm assuming they see something there, but I don't know, $800, that's pretty steep, I mean, for, you know, supposedly a recreational, you know, piece of hardware. So I just don't know how this one, well, most likely it's probably going to be, you know, coming in third compared to the other two, but, you know, who knows, maybe it's going to, you know, blow everybody out of the water, you know. I guess there's proof is in the pudding, you know, when the software starts coming out is, you know, how I guess these things are going to live and die.
Yeah, and you know, I just remembered about the Samsung Gear VR, you know, and that $99 piece of hardware that works with your, you know, $400 Samsung phone, and that didn't make a lot of sense to me either. So, I don't know. I think the underdog here is probably PlayStation VR, because if it's less expensive, it's not $600. If it's $300, then that'll, you know, with the installed base of PS4s out there, man, that thing's going to have one heck of a chance. You know, alongside, I think, you know, Oculus being the, you know, the you know, the first company on the ground to really get a, you know, publicized VR and the whole hopes and dreams of it. So, don't know where these other ones fit in, though.
Yeah, I guess my hope is, you know, I've voiced my suspicion or my feeling that Valve is turning a corner and has shown a little less friendly side of itself in comparison to, you know, the fan favorite that it was in the past. You know, they and I didn't get all deep into the story, but you know, they load shed I guess their main hardware designer a couple of years ago. You know, and the thing that I went through with the refunds and a few other things. But at any rate, you know, I guess my big fear. And the kind of the Steam OS debacle of last year, and that one's the most telling one. My hope is that, and I really hope they're not hanging HTC out to dry. I really hope this isn't, you know, well, we're Valve, we don't really want to invest in making our own hardware, but hey HTC, you know, you're barely struggling and you really need like a last ditch, like Hail Mary. We'll be happy to work with you for VR, but you know, if it goes south, you know, we have the deepest empathy for you guys, but you know, it won't really impact us because we're still going to sell tons of PC games. Because this play feels like there is almost zero risk in it for Valve. All the risk seems to be borne by HTC, and right now, based on the two games that are packed in with it, it doesn't smell like Valve really did a whole lot to build partnerships and bridges to make sure that there was some, like, you know, kick butt, you know, killer app thing packed in with it. Like why at $800, why this thing is not launching with like some 3D space sim or flight sim, or, you know, it doesn't have like a hook into what is that space sim we've been talking about recently, Gray?
Oh, Elite, well, Dangerous? Elite Valkyrie, Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, Elite Dangerous. Sky. Right. I mean, why it's not packed in with something like that? Like, when they're partnered with Valve, like, I don't get that at all. You know, and again, last year that's kind of what Valve did. They got all the hardware manufacturers, or allowed the hardware manufacturers, to get amped up about selling Steam boxes, and when they didn't have Steam OS ready, they just kind of shrugged their shoulders and were like, yeah, we'll have it ready for you guys next year. If you want to hold on to those PCs you've already built, you know, feel free to, or do whatever you want with them. This just kind of feels like that same kind of thing.
You know, yeah, it's kind of like how you mentioned before.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's kind of like, Zeus, how you mentioned before, that it's kind of, when I've seen it in articles and stuff, it's always the HTC Vive. And then they kind of, lower in the article, is, oh yeah, and this is, Valve is also, involved in this. It's kind of like an afterthought almost. Like, they, even in this article that I've been reading, actually this is from Polygon and from IGN too, I got both of these that I was kind of reading off of. They kind of just, half-heartedly mentioned Valve, and it's just, it's just all about HTC, so it'll be interesting to see, what's going to happen.
All right, so somebody tell me, what is up with Valve? I just don't get this. All right, so no new Counter-Strike, no new Half-Life. They bought up all these companies that made mods, right? So really, what? Let's look at, what is Valve? Valve made Half-Life 1 and 2. Decent games. By far not my favorite games of all time. I'm looking at the other games they promote on their website. Portal. Portal was developed by an independent who they bought. Left 4 Dead. I don't know, did they author Left 4 Dead, or was that something they had bought? A lot of these.
Yeah, same,
Team Fortress.
Same thing. Same thing. They obtained Left 4 Dead. It was I want to say it was like a... There's so many of these. Was that the one that was like a class, like a senior team, seniors in college, like their like team project or something like that, and Valve bought it.
Right. Yep.
So I don't know if it was that, but yes, they bought it. They didn't build it.
To me, it looks like everything they're promoting on their website is Half-Life or mods made for Half-Life. Okay, except for maybe Dota 2. I don't know anything about Dota and Dota 2, so I'm totally out of that loop. But everything else is Half-Life. Again, decent game. Not my favorite game of all time. I don't know. Everybody thinks it's awesome. I just think it's a good game. And all these mods, which were good. I mean, I totally enjoyed Portal 2. The co-op was a lot of fun. And Team Fortress is always a hoot, right? Team Fortress 2, always a hoot. Counter-Strike, of course, we know what that was all about. But what is this company? I mean, when you go to their main page, they're showing the Steam controller, which doesn't look... I haven't read an article where anybody said that was excellent. And the Steam machines, which run a Steam OS, which is a Linux byproduct, which is most of the games won't run on. I just don't get it. Oh, and then we have the HTC headset, and it looks like we have a Steam streaming service, which I don't think I need because I got a lot... Can somebody explain to me why Valve is worth so much money and who they are?
Yeah, I guess I'm with you that I don't understand what the character of the company is supposed to be now or what they're about. It definitely feels like the retail kind of storefront aspect of the company is what's front and center. Despite my angst with Steam, the reality is I probably interact with it almost on a daily basis. Or at least, three or four times a week, I touch an actual Valve game, maybe once a month, maybe. I am a big fan of Left 4 Dead, but again, that's something they bought, not something they built in-house. So, I kind of agree with you. I don't know, I did a search on the Steam homepage for Valve, and then actually clicked the Valve developer link in the game that I picked just to see all the games, and there's like two pages of games, but they're all like derivations of Half-Life, like you said. So I don't know exactly what they are about. There's basically very little visibility or transparency on who or what they are as a game studio. It's all about Steam and being a storefront at this point, seemingly.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I can't really speak too much about it because I don't really do...
Go ahead. Nope.
Oh, I was just gonna say I can't really speak too much about it because I'm not a big PC guy anymore. But yeah, I mean, all I've ever known them for was, you know, like you said, Counter-Strike. Basically, all the games that you had kind of rattled off, and they seem to stop at number two on each of those, and that's it. There's no more, or even anything really too new either. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Steam store. It works good. I mean, the GOG, good old Game Store, works good. I mean, the old Microsoft Store, another abandoned piece of our heritage here, and I can't recoup my games for Windows. I don't know why. But you know, all these
Please don't add that.
stores.
Please
Go
don't
ahead.
add games for Windows in the mix and say that it worked well. Please.
Well, it worked, and I can't get my games that I bought anymore, and I don't know how to get them, and nobody can answer them, and nobody at Microsoft knows how to get them for me. But anyways, there's nothing revolutionary about Steam, the Steam store, in my opinion, except for the sales, which now everybody's duplicating. So I don't know. Sorry to go on that tangent, but I'm just like, I just don't get it. I mean, I just don't get it.
No,
No, it's
I'm
okay.
there with you. I definitely understand your perspective and feel the I don't know the blunt pain. You know they still do Steam well, right? I mean it's still nice as a PC gamer that there is a single place that you can go to that is somewhat almost guaranteed to have a high degree of ubiquity and have every game that you would want. It's great to be able to go to their pre-order. Preload. It's. You know, I'm kind of compensating for a lot of the bad mouthing that I've done for them. It's awesome how it kind of load balances downloads, and you can go there and buy a bundle of games and say install all these and just walk away, right? And you come back in the morning and your games are installed. It doesn't give you the PS4 head fake where it says, "Hey, your game's installed," and then when you go to play it, it says, "Well, not really." Because this upgrade that I gave you notification for that I download, I didn't actually install, so let me install that first. It's pretty slick, and I'll admit to a certain extent, maybe some of my bad mouthing about it is, it works so well that it's become one of those things where, when it just works, like nobody notices, because we just expect it to. That's just the new standard we have for them. But when something kind of janky goes on, you know, I'll admit it, you know, we probably hammer them maybe more than we would another service because our expectations are so high. But you know, yeah, but like you said, it's weird that there seems to be no presence of an actual development studio that was the start of this thing in the core. It feels like kind of like the Borg. Maybe that development studio and that culture has been assimilated by this larger kind of retail monster that's running the storefront through Steam.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that's a good point. You know, I'm glad it exists. I've got some great deals on games from them. I don't think I've ever bought a retail game from them, nor do I think I ever would. But when they offer sales, when they offer great games at super low prices, how do you say no? And but I'm glad there's competition out there. I'm glad you know, people like Blizzard are still doing their own thing with Battle.net, and you know, EA's constantly trying to do something with Origin. Gotta give them credit for keep doing that. And they offer free games every now and again, which, how do you turn down a free game? No, it's good to see competition out there. GOG, great to have them out there doing their thing, and they're just getting better. And you know, would hate to see a monopoly, because then you're really in for it. But yeah, so just a mini segue on Steam and what are they all about? And I'm looking at the time, guys. What else do we want to do? We're into that hour mark here.
I'm good if those discussions, which I apologize for maybe being part of taking us away from what was going to be our main. I'm fine if those constitute our main discussion for tonight, and we wrap and hold off on DLC and episodic content or streaming technologies for another day. I don't know. What do you think, Prime?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I think we had some good conversation there, so that was cool. We don't have to. We can save our theme of the week here for a later podcast. And just one more thing, on the Valve, excuse me, HTC Vive. There is a free Portal-themed tool that you can test your machine with to see if it's ready for VR. So, and I don't even have to download that. I'm not going to be able to do it. I think it said it's like 1.9 gigs too. So there you go.
Nice. What? So $800, and then you have to go buy a $1,000 PC. Nice.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah. Well, let's make that our. We'll make this week's topic of the week, next week's topic of the week, as we've gone over here. And if anybody out there listening, if you want to educate me and what Steam's all about, because I apparently am very confused, or communicate to any of us about anything we discussed, you can visit us at our website at bandofgames.net. You can post in our forums, which are part of the gamingworldforums.com forum, and you can always send us an email at podcast@bandofgamers.net. And for that, that's going to bring us to the end of another show. You know, on behalf of Zeus Adamus, Osiris Prime, and myself, I want to thank you very much for listening. Until the next time we speak, peace.